Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Welcome to Seeking Alpha Editor's Roundtable, What Moved Markets This Week, the week ending December 3rd, 2021. Only a couple more weeks where I get to say that as the year is winding down. But it was a very eventful week. We had the Omicron virus wreaking havoc across financial markets worldwide, leading to massive risk off, some rebounds, and then more selling. And as we record this at noon on Friday, we are down for the week as stocks are dropping anew after being higher at the open. So a lot going on. And it wasn't just Omicron. We also had Fed Chair Jerome Powell coming in and saying he is going to speed up bond purchase tapering. And we had a jobs report today that fell short of expectations. So a lot for us to unwrap. And a shortened staff here. I am joined by Kim Kahn, senior news editor, and special guest Jerry Cronenberg, managing editor of Investor Tactics. I am your host and moderator, Nathaniel E. Baker, senior editor of Strategic Contributors. Brad Olison and Stephen Alfer are off this week. So a bit of a skeleton staff, like I said, but we will make it work. And we'll start with Kim to give you the big picture view of what moved markets this week.
Well, I think move is the operative word. We just moved up and down and then down again and then up. The S&P had its biggest two-day loss in 14 months on Tuesday and Wednesday. As you said, you know, the newly hawkish Fed chair put some worries into the market about a sooner than expected liftoff. And we've got the Omicron virus, the first case that was identified in the U.S. in San Francisco. That hit markets. The VIX, which is the measure of volatility in the market, has now doubled from where it was about 5 days ago. So things are going fast and furious. In the meantime, rates are getting pressure again, and money is still flowing into the so-called safety area. But you know, the 10-year yield is now back around closer to 1.4%. So it's been problematic. And then we had non-farm payrolls come out today, and nobody knew what to make of it because it was a really big miss comparatively from what people were expecting. It was 222,000 versus like a 550 expectation. But there was an increase in labor participation rate, which everybody wanted. There's also a big drop in the headline jobless number. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff going on there. And in terms of stocks, the riskiest parts of the markets, the small caps and tech stocks were beaten down, have been beaten down the most. And that is very topical in light of our guest's expertise. Jerry, you cover SPACs and IPOs. And so curious how things are shaping up there. So why don't you let us know?
Very badly right now, which I think is an important thing, because if you look at a bull market, I mean, SPACs and IPOs are probably the cherry on top of the sundae. So when they do well, you're still in your bull market. When they start to fade, they're probably the first thing that fades because they're very risk off, as you say. So they're doing very badly. Grab, which is a Southeast Asian, I believe they call it a super app, which went public via SPAC deal this week. It was supposed to do great. So far, it's doing very poorly. Robinhood, big IPO from the summer, at a near or at a 52-week low as we speak. Sweetgreen, big IPO just recently, at or near a 52-week low. So out of the roughly 200 IPOs that I follow from this year, about 10%, maybe more, are very close to or at 52-week lows. I think that that is a sign of a market top, unless we get a fresh catalyst. I don't think we're collapsing, but it's certainly a sign that the bull market is getting pretty weary.
Wow. Yeah, that is pretty telling indeed. And if you look at the winners and losers here, which I will cover pretty quick in Brad's absence, hopefully a little bit quicker than he usually does, but love you, Brad. But some of the pandemic names have seen some of the bigger losers, biggest losses here. DocuSign down 40%. And then these aren't necessarily pandemic names, but Twitter and Viacom both down 10%. Facebook is down. And some of the winners include, well, Apple was one. And weirdly, also Peloton got a, well, they got a, I believe somebody initiated coverage, Deutsche Bank, was it perhaps? So that's where we are for some of the winners and losers.
Well, I mean, as I said, I think it's interesting that, as you said, some of the pandemic names you think would be up are actually down. To me, again, that's a little bit of a risk off. We don't yet know what's going to happen with the virus, but certainly the Fed looking like they're going to raise, and frankly, they've never successfully raised without either causing a recession or at least the recession happens, whether they cause it or not. So I think we're seeing some real risk off move here.
Very interesting. All right, let's move on to the second segment of the show where we discuss our favorite stories, Seeking Alpha articles, tweets, or other things. Let's start with Kim.
I'd like to go back to the Fed and Powell with his pivot now to suddenly thinking about like tapering can be wrapped up in January. It was very interesting to see how the markets were pricing in Fed funds futures. If you looked at it on Black Friday, when the Omicron virus was hitting, it pushed possibility of a first quarter point rate hike all the way out to December. Now it's back to probability almost priced in for June and about a 50-50 on May for next year, because he says that basically they're going to discuss it at the next meeting, that they want to wind up tapering sooner. And it's not tightening, because it's just less accommodation. I mean, the Fed balance sheet is still rising, but it's, you know, there's a lot of theories out there that all of a sudden he got his renomination and now he's free to be the hawkish guy that he always wanted to be. I think it, you know, it really took the market by surprise. And then he doubled down the next day and said, yeah, we're going to do that. And so he wasn't really worried about the first sell-off. So we're going to see I think basically it just says that he's really worried about inflation and that it's not going to go around. He's says no more transitory, and he's really going to be worried about these price pressures sticking.
Yeah, the Fed is officially retiring the word transitory. And I'm sure that everybody in the financial media will, of course, follow suit and never use it again. Jerry, what about you?
Well, for me, the big story I've been following this week has been what's going on in Turkey, which has been very well covered by our financial editor here at Seeking Alpha, Liz Kish. To me, that is a huge story and a big warning for the Fed and for the United States. We've got the president of Turkey pushing his central bank to keep rates low. He seems to think that lower rates are good for inflation in terms of stopping inflation, opposed to everyone else seems to think the opposite. And they have just a massive devaluation of their currency, massive inflation. This shows what would happen, I believe, in the United States if the Fed waits too long to raise rates or taper, and especially if the politicians get involved in the Fed. The fact of the matter is we'd have zero rates forever, and we'd probably have a very bad inflationary thing. So I think it's something for Americans to pay attention to, and I hope they pay attention to it in Washington.
Yeah, let's certainly hope the Fed doesn't get politicized any more than they perhaps are. There are some conspiracy theories going around that, as I'm sure you know, Powell was reappointed just so that the Democrats could make him the fall guy when the economy goes belly up next year during the election year or whatever it was.
I like the Turkey story because, in full disclosure, my dad's an economist, but I like the Turkey story because everyone says, oh, economists don't know anything. They don't know what they're doing. And Erdogan is basically saying, okay, I'm going to do the opposite of what every economist says and run my country this way. I'm going to lower rates and inflation is going to down. Let's see what happens. I think we're seeing what's happening.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, we give economists a hard time around here. I know I do. We've discussed that on this show before, but and sometimes for good reason. But yeah, you'd rather have an economist running your economy and your central bank than a politician. That much we know for sure.
Yeah, and I would say that the politicians, to me, it's interesting because we have so many politicians in the world now who think that they can control the weather, and they can't. And so one thing I always liked about market economics and the economy is that it self-corrects and tells you the truth. It doesn't do what you want it to do. It does what is correct. And so it's refreshing in a way, although it's very painful for people of Turkey, to see that politicians do not control the economy and they don't have the power they think they do.
Yeah, it is worth also mentioning that the U.S. is not Turkey. You know, our Fed, our central bank, which we don't even call a central bank officially, is a little separated from the whole political thing. You know, our politicians are a little more accountable to the populace. And lest we forget, the US dollar is not the Turkish lira. So having said that, you certainly do raise a valid point. And for me, my favorite story idea, I'm once again going to go to the pro editors section of the Seeking Alpha website. This is for our pro readers and where I now spend most of my time these days. And there was another piece here. This was our top idea this week, actually, by The Bull's Bay, which is a new contributor, but becoming very popular. And they cover Nexstar Media Group, a very bullish piece. They see 75% upside with this name, NXST. They say that it's a television and broadcasting and digital media company, obviously. And they say best of breed management and a dominant market position, 11% free cash flow. And they are very excited about this and think that shares will bounce next year. And again, 75% upside for that. So check it out. Nexstar Media Group, an underrated shining star with 75% upside from The Bull's Bay. And that'll wrap up this week's podcast and video. Thank you for being with us this week. And we look forward to speaking to you again next time. In the meantime, be sure to check out this video on the website seekingalpha.com/videos/alpha-talks. And the podcast, which might be slightly longer, you can get on Saturday mornings at 6:30 a.m. on the Wall Street Breakfast podcast account. And with that, we wish you a happy and healthy weekend and look forward to speaking to you again next week. Bye.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to seekingalpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.